With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Snap, out of the gun. Trubisky and the keeper left for the 15. Inside cut of the 10. 5, end zone. Touchdown, Bears. Mitchell Trubisky. With six more, and the Bears explode to a 30-14 lead. 23 yards right down Michigan Avenue, baby.
Arkish and Arkish on the Score.
Well, there you go. Another Thursday nighter. I don't know, Arthur, if you'd call the Dallas Cowboys a good defense last year or not. You certainly wouldn't call them a good defense this year, but another good night for Mitch Trubisky. I am Hub Arkish. Arthur Arkish is alongside. We are with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we have Sean Anderson and Herb Lawrence producing for us, doing such a great job as always. And one of the things they managed to get done is a great roster of guests for us, and we will now welcome in our first of the day. He's kind of like a member of the family. Spent a lot of time at Pro Football Weekly before moving on to The Athletic. You can read him now at theathletic.com, where he is doing such an outstanding job. Kevin Fishbane on the Chicago Bears beat. And Kevin, we appreciate you taking time. Hope that you guys had a really nice turkey day yesterday. And I know we're all working through the four-day weekend, but we hope it's been a good holiday for you so far.
Yeah, it has, Hub. And Arthur, thank you so much for having me. This is fun, and happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Well, listen,
course,
I know,
happy Thanksgiving. We missed
Kev, one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you is I assume that you were on the phone the last hour with some of the players. We all await Matt Nagy after practice, at which point we assume he will finally announce the worst kept secret in sports, that Mitch Trubisky is going to be the starting quarterback Sunday night. But first up, anything interesting come out of the morning session today? Curious who you might have gotten to visit with.
Well, Hub, do you find Brent Urban interesting?
I do. I actually.
I actually do too. I think he's been one of the really fun bright spots. Maybe really fun's a bit strong, but I do think he's been one of the bright spots of this team. He is the only one that talked today. The practice timing got kind of thrown in a loop, so we heard from Brent Urban, and then we're going to hear from extra players later this afternoon. But I Urban is a very positive thinking guy, and obviously with the defensive line, they could be without Akeem Hicks on Sunday. And it's been amazing what Jay Rodgers has done with guys like Brent Urban and Mario Edwards Jr. and John Jenkins, Nick Williams last year. They just kind of found these guys that can make an impact. Now, you need Akeem Hicks when you're facing Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. But, you know, look, you credit the Bears defense that is their deepest position year after year, and they keep finding guys that can step in and make plays for you.
Yeah, it's a great point, Kevin. I know we're not really trying. Probably, I guess I get to steer the conversation any way I want. This isn't probably what the listeners want to hear, but I'm curious because it's a really good point by you. Jay Rodgers, future coordinator. I mean, we see what Brandon Staley's doing with the Rams, and I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the way he gets every ounce of production out of whoever, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy puts in front of him. What do you think about the possibility of Rodgers as a future coordinator and maybe even head coach?
Yeah, I mean, he's done such an outstanding job since he's been here, and he's been here for a while. I mean, he's one of the few guys that's been here since John Fox. And, you know, you look around the league, and I think usually, and you guys could probably speak to this a little better about the transition from a position coach to a defensive coordinator. We might see the secondary coach a lot of times, or like Brandon Staley, an outside linebacker coach. I look at Casey Rogers, who was a D-line coach back in Miami and Dallas, and he was the coordinator for the Jets for a few years. So, you know, I do think, you know, if you just look at player development and getting the most out of guys, which is really so much of what you ask for from a coordinator or a head coach, I mean, it's hard to find a position coach that has done that better than Jay Rogers. I mean, you look at just the contracts that guys have gotten after spending a few years with Jay Rogers as their position coach. I mean, Akeem Hicks came here and got a big extension after 1 year. You look at Eddie Goldman, Roy Robertson-Harris is due to get a good deal, I'm sure, on free agency. Nick Williams last year. And we'll see if Mario Edwards Jr., Brent Urban can finish strong and get, you know, more than the minimum as they head to free agency next spring.
Kevin, I'm curious for your thoughts as to how Matt Nagy has handled this week with his quarterback situation. You know, we talk to him 4 or 5 times a week. It's been going on forever. Certainly after the Rams game, I asked. I know I was not the only one. A number of us wondered if it was time to go back to Mitch. Then Mitch bangs up the shoulder against the Saints, so he's not an option. But it seemed just plain as day that with all other options exhausted, it was time to give Mitch another look, whether Nick Foles gets hurt or not. And yet now, apparently being forced to give Mitch the chance, Matt has refused to say, you know, we like Mitch, we trust Mitch, it's time to go there. He has stalled all the way till Friday, suggesting that if Nick Foles is healthy enough to go, he might be his quarterback, and yet he hasn't said that either. So I'm confused by the way that Nagy has decided to handle that this week.
Yeah, I'm with you, Hub. You know, I think you kind of laid it out there that there's two scenarios at play. I mean, this could be just pure gamesmanship, which I find it to be a little silly. I find a lot of examples of gamesmanship to be silly. But, you know, Bill Lazor kind of hinted at it yesterday, the offensive coordinator, when he talked to us. He goes, look, you guys know who's practiced and who hasn't. You know who's taken all the reps. We all know. So maybe it is just a simple fact of gamesmanship that he just wants to make the Packers still think that Nick Foles could start. Or it could just be that Matt Nagy really would be perfectly fine going to Nick Foles, having not practiced all week except for Friday, over Trubisky. That's how much he would prefer to have his guy. I mean, look, this is a head coach that benched Mitch Trubisky when the Bears were 2-0. I've said this before on these airwaves. I'm not here to relitigate that. I'm not here to necessarily say that was the right move or the wrong move, but I think what that signaled was exactly who the head coach wanted as his quarterback. But you said it, Hub. I mean, that guy, Nick Foles, has not done the job. I mean, the offense has been worse with him at quarterback. And now you're in a must-win situation, really, for the rest of the season, the way the NFC is shaken out. So, you know, I've been a little confused, just like you. You know, again, it could just be simple where Matt is just overthinking this whole thing and just trying to kind of play games with the Packers. But, you know, I would hope that he kind of lets Mitch Trubisky know the situation, because if you're Mitch and you're taking every rep, you know, you would think that he at least knows what the situation is there, as opposed to kind of dangling around waiting to see if Nick Foles can practice.
Kevin, there's been a lot of thought that maybe a switch back to Mitch could be what helps catalyze this run game that's been stuck in neutral, obviously, since they made the initial quarterback change, just the added mobility, maybe a little more flexibility as a play caller. Do you buy that at all? Do you think with the O-line as it is that's kind of a moot point? And in either way, is there someone else? Is there another area of this offense where perhaps, I mean, we know you could throw a dart in every area and needs a spark, but is there someone you maybe look to that might be able to level up if this quarterback change materializes and it is Mitch for a while here?
Yeah, Arthur, it's a great question, because I've, you know, and so many of us have pointed out the obvious discrepancy in the run game production with Mitch and without Mitch. But the question is, how much of that is simply the guy handing the ball off or the scheme? And you know, do you wonder if Nick Foles was asked to run the under center type stuff that Mitch Trubisky was doing the first couple weeks of the season, would the running game be better? But that's not Nick Foles' game, and that's not necessarily the offense that we've seen. So, and you said it, the offensive line's changed. I thought James Daniels was maybe the best run blocker those first couple weeks. You go back and look at every good run. He was a major part of it. He's not in the lineup. I am very interested to see what the starting five is on that offensive line on Sunday night. But, here's the thing, Arthur. The run game can't be worse, right? I mean, it can't get worse if Mitch is back there. And if anything, Mitch gives him that element of the quarterback run, which would certainly help. And as far as another position, I keep looking at tight end, guys. I mean, I just can't figure out what they're doing with Cole Kmet. And it seems like we're on the right path here, where Cole Kmet finally had, he even had more snaps than Jimmy Graham last week. He had a season high in targets, but only three. I mean, when you draft a guy that high, and you talk so much about how important that position is to your offense, and you talk about how ready he seems throughout the Zooms in the spring and summer. We all saw him at training camp, and then you just don't utilize him as much as you would think. That just has confused me for a long time. And looking at the numbers, Mitch Trubisky did have more multiple tight end sets that he worked with than Nick Foles did. Now, some of that is consequence of the flow of the game. You know, if you're trailing, like the Bears have a lot with Nick Foles, you're probably going to have your 11 personnel, your three wide receivers, and Jimmy Graham out there. But I think it's time for Cole Kmet more often than not to be that receiver if you're in those packages. So, you know, it could be a perfect, you know, collision course of Mitch Trubisky coming back in the lineup and the Bears feeling more comfortable giving Cole Kmet those reps. But if you're looking at another position that you could think might get a boost, it might be coincidental just to where they are in the season. But you got to imagine that they would be more comfortable with two tight ends out there and getting Cole Kmet the ball more often.
You know, Kev, I'm of the mind that with all the talk this week about the quarterbacks, that we've kind of been burying the lead, or not the lead so much as ignoring the more important conversation. As you just said, the run game can't get worse with Mitch. The quarterback play can't get worse than Mitch. Nick Foles has been awful. Relative to the Bears' chance to go into Lambeau and pull an upset Sunday night, I am a lot more worried about the likelihood that Akeem Hicks isn't going to be out there than I am whether it's Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky. It's kind of the same story. I don't see any way Hicks is going to go if he had a hamstring 13 days ago. And as much as I do like what Brent Urban has done, I do like what Mario Edwards has done. You've basically got three difference makers on that defense in Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, and Roquan Smith. And against the most explosive offense in the league, I'm not sure you can afford to be without one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you need a defensive masterpiece to win this game. And you're absolutely right. Though, you know, we talk a lot about the quarterback, but does anybody really think that the Mitch Trubisky at quarterback or Nick Foles at quarterback is going to put the Bears in position to score enough points that they could go shot for shot with Aaron Rodgers? And look, this is a defense that has, as outstanding as they've been on third down, as great as they've been in the red zone, they are not sacking the quarterback nearly enough. They are not taking the ball away at a rate that they should. And you need to find a way to do those things against Aaron Rodgers. Like, you can't expect Aaron Rodgers to come in the red zone and go 0-for-3 in the red zone. It's just that's just asking too much. And without Akeem Hicks, you lose that interior pressure, the tight pressure that could really, kind of help impact any quarterback. And then if Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn are doing their job, you could see what that could create for your team. And you go back to that 2015 game. I mean, that's what it was. It was a defensive shutdown. Tracy Porter had the game of his life outside the Super Bowl in that upset win. The offense only mustered 17 points. I mean, that's what the Bears have to do. They have to find a way, because look, the offense has not scored more than 23 points since late September. I mean, you just cannot ask them to do that. They're not going to score three touchdowns. We haven't seen it all year, so I'm not sure why you'd expect to see it in this situation. So yeah, I'm with you, Hub. I mean, this is a defense that has to find a way to put together their best game. And what's been so unfortunate is we've seen a couple weeks now where the defense has put together those types of games. You look at the way they took the ball away against Minnesota, you get the kickoff return touchdown, you look at the way they shut down Derrick Henry, and then the offense just totally flails. And now you're asking them to do it on the road against Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be tough, but yeah, I mean, if they win this game, I can't imagine we would be talking Monday morning about a Mitch Trubisky four touchdown performance. I mean, if we do, great. You'd be happy for him if that happens. But the way things have gone, this is going to have to be just a great defensive performance.
It's such a weird sort of discrepancy, Kevin, between the lack of the pass rush and the excellence on third down. One of the just the mystifying things about this team and this defense. So I'm curious, and hopefully I'm not beating a dead horse here. Say what you will about Leonard Floyd's entire Bears tenure, but he always got up for the Packers. Robert Quinn, any chance of a sighting come Sunday night? I know everyone has just been very disappointed by the lack of pass rush productivity from the newcomer to replace Floyd.
Yeah, and I think Robert Quinn himself has been disappointed that he's not putting up the numbers he expects. And we heard it from Ted Monachino last week, too. You know, there was a little stretch when the Bears won a couple games. You looked at Tampa, Carolina, where the advanced stats showed that he was getting really close to the quarterback. And I thought he played really well against Carolina. But as John Fox liked to tell us, guys, close only matters in horseshoes and hand grenades. You know, just mm-hmm. And when you're making as much money as Robert Quinn is to sack the quarterback, to hit the quarterback, to force turnovers, you can't have one sack on your first play and not get another one for, you know, 10 games. So this is a huge opportunity for him to show that the bye week, maybe some extra rest, refreshing the legs, getting a chance to watch the tape and see what he's been doing and do some self-scouting and sit down with Ted Monachino and Chuck Pagano. Because, yeah, I mean, you're right, Arthur. Leonard Floyd always got up for the Packers. He always got up for primetime games. He still gets up for primetime games, as we saw against the Bears and as we saw against Tampa the other night, and then against San Francisco a few weeks earlier. So, yeah, I think as we just kind of been talking about, if you're going to win, it's because the defense is lights out. And for the defense to be lights out, you need your playmakers, you need your big money guys and Quinn and Mac to find a way to force some Aaron Rodgers turnovers.
Kevin, I know we got to let you bounce, but one more question for you before we do, because much like the Akeem Hicks story, another huge story, maybe more important than the quarterbacks that I haven't heard anybody talking about all week long, is that Sam Mustipha has practiced all week. He looked not bad, if not fairly good, in his short stay at center before he injured that knee. Alex Bars was forced to step in at guard and carried himself fairly well, and then was forced to play center where he'd never even played before, and he wasn't horrible either. Cody Whitehair is back, not only healthy, having played 2 weeks ago, but now with the bye week to really get back to where he was. Do we have any idea, you know, what the starting... I should add Jason Spriggs, you know, has now had a week to rest that knee after he was active but didn't play Monday night. Rashad Coward, to me, has been awful at guard and was actually even worse at right tackle, even though I thought he might be better since it's more natural position. Do we have any idea who is starting at left guard or right tackle, or if possibly Cody Whitehair could move to left guard and we could have a different center?
Yeah, it's going to be that one of those things we're kind of wait to see Sunday night. You know, the people that are in Lambeau will find out probably an hour before kickoff. I really am intrigued by the possibility of Sam Mustipha playing center. Talking to some folks around the league, I mean, there is a sense that he, you know, could be a better option there than Cody Whitehair, because it allows Cody Whitehair to play guard, which, look, we know Cody Whitehair is a very good guard. He can play both positions at a high level. And maybe Mustipha can just do some things at center. And, you know, look, he's obviously not physically gifted like Whitehair, but it seems like there's a sense from hearing from the coaches that they really like the way Mustipha handled the intelligence part that comes with center. Not that Cody Whitehair is bad at it, but maybe it's all about getting your best five guys there. So that is an interesting option. I'm curious where Alex Bars fits in the equation, because he could also play right tackle. You know, he's an option there too, along with Jason Spriggs and Rashad Coward. So I am very curious, because they have to figure out a better situation, because I know the injuries and COVID-19 really ravaged this group, but you only have one starter out. Two, with Bobby Massey as well. You know, this is a front office that kind of ignored using a lot of, you know, premium resources on the position, and now it's coming back to bite them. So it's really forced their hand. You had all this time. You would like to think that they're going to make some, not maybe, I guess Sam Mustipha playing center and Cody Whitehair at guard would count as a drastic change, but that's what you'd like to see in terms of them, you know, holding their guys accountable and showing that they can learn from what they watched the last, you know, 7 to 10 weeks, that they need to make a change up there.
All right, Kev, I got to go pay some bills here, and we've gone over time with you. I do appreciate your time. Go get some refreshments, whatever, before you got to jump back on those Zoom conferences. That is Kevin Fishbane. You follow him at theathletic.com and on Twitter at Kevin Fishbane. So good of him to take time out for us this afternoon. We are going to take a quick commercial break. He's Arthur Arkish. I'm Hub Arkish. We're with you until 4, and we are back with some more of your phone calls if you'd like at 312-644-6767 right after these quick commercial words.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I mean, this is an absolutely huge game for us, man. If we hit this game, we have all the momentum in the world to keep it rolling. So, you know, coming off the bye, everybody's feeling great, ready to go. We just got to get this one. This is our biggest game of the season. And, you know, if we hit this, we'll be on our way.
You know, I was all ready to talk about Brent Urban, and then I get a little Lou Reed, and it's kind of hard to just not stop and listen for a couple minutes. But that was Brent Urban, Chicago Bears defensive lineman, talking about the Packers game. I am Arthur Arkish. I'm Hub Arkish, along with Arthur Arkish. I wish I was 38 and not 98. And we are with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And Arthur, listening to Brent, who's a great kid, and I think has been a find for the Bears and played really good football. We tend to just forget sometimes that these guys are young and impressionable and maybe not completely focused on everything going on around them. You know, I almost felt like the Bears aren't in a bad spot listening to what Brent Urban had to say just now, but I'm not sure that that's an accurate description of what they face heading up to Lambeau Field.
Yeah, it's gonna take Brent Urban walking a lot on the wild side and the rest of that defense too to make it happen, no doubt. But he's a good player, and I would have been interested to hear what he had to say about the Ravens, of course, having spent the first part of his career and had a bunch of success there. Just to get his thoughts on what they're dealing with in Baltimore right now. But as it pertains to the Bears and Brent Urban specifically, he's going to need to step up even more if Akeem Hicks can't play. That goes without saying. And Mario Edwards, too, who has flashed a little bit. Those guys are going to have to play the games of their lives because Aaron Jones is a dude. Jamal Williams, underrated back. And that offense, for all the Packers still can't play defense, but that offense is really, really tough to stop right now.
Yeah, I think you did just mention a very interesting key to this football game, though, and that is the fact that the Packers' defense is soft, is the best way to put it. They're soft up the middle. Statistically, it's interesting. They're not all that bad, but that's because they're on the field so little. The Packers lead the NFL in time of possession, or at least did going into Indianapolis last week. But one thing, Arthur, that to me it's the most fascinating thing about this game, it's been true for years now, you can run the football on the Green Bay Packers. You can do it all day long. You can beat them that way. The Minnesota Vikings certainly showed that a couple weeks ago. Now they had Dalvin Cook. Indianapolis Colts showed it in the second half last week with a Jonathan Taylor who has not been quite the rookie phenom that I expected. Just another reason to know that the Bears had to go to Mitch Trubisky because even if he is no better than Nick Foles, the running game has been more effective with him there. And that's got to be part of the formula to win this football game. We're going to keep breaking it down all afternoon, but right now I want to get back to the phone lines where Jeff has dialed us up from East Moline. Jeff, I want to tell everybody this segment on The Score is brought to you by the Salvation Army, and we thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a great Turkey Day yesterday.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I've been a Bear fan since Red Green was doing play-by-play. That's a long time ago. And I have never seen a what you would call a franchise Bear quarterback in all those years. We've had a couple good ones, but they didn't last long enough, either for injury or some other problem. But a couple weeks ago, an ex-Bear player made the comment that speed players come to Chicago to die. Well, that's the way I feel about Bear quarterbacks. And it's sad. And I've had younger people tell me that the best they've ever seen is Cutler. And that's where we stand as far as quarterbacks. In my opinion, it's a sad situation. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, Jeff, thank you for the phone call. I have to confess, as someone who worked 20 years in the Bears radio booth myself, I didn't know that Red Grange did play-by-play. And if you heard that, then God bless you for even being with us and still able to pick up the phone. You are correct about the quarterback position, though. And Arthur, I talked about this. I hosted Tuesday night. We had a long talk about this. Just going back, it's been basically 60 years since the Bears have had a franchise quarterback. You have to go back to the Hall of Famer, Sid Luckman. I know that there are some, this would not be Gen X. It would be too early. It wouldn't be baby boomers. It would be too late. But the Bears fans of the 80s want to claim Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon was never a particularly good quarterback. He went to, I believe, one Pro Bowl on the heels of all the talent around him with that 80s Bears team, which is one of the great dynasties of all time. He was a good passer, but he didn't have any unique talents. He hung around the league 16 years and was only a starter in less than half of them. You then go to 95 and Eric Kramer, when he broke all of the Bears' single-season passing records and then sadly broke his neck after that and was never the same player again. In 01, you had Jim Miller and Shane Matthews both playing well at times, but neither of those guys was going to be the quarterback of the future for 5, 10, 12 years had they stayed healthy. And then, of course, Rex Grossman. Halfway point of the 06 season, he's the leader in the MVP race. By the end of the 06 season, he's only starting in the Super Bowl because he's the best you've got, and he's gone 2 years later. And then, as Jeff just told us, Jay Cutler comes to town. We all know that disappointment. This is not something you can hang on Ryan Pace. You can't hang it on Jerry Angelo or Mark Hatley. It's more than generational. It's the history of the Chicago Bears. They can't get it right at that position.
Yeah, it's a small issue in a league that is now just dominated, obviously, by that position. And to see the lack of success over a sustained period is troubling, to say the least. I will say, it's no guarantee. I mean, I think that I can speak for most Bears fans when I say that we'd love just to have a chance with a quarterback who can go out and win games for you. But I couldn't help but thinking yesterday on a few occasions, it's Thanksgiving, what are we thankful for? And as I'm watching that just train wreck of a Detroit Lions team, I was at least thinking, well, I'm thankful the Bears aren't the Lions. And you know what, Hub? They've got a franchise quarterback, and they haven't been able to take anywhere near full advantage of Matthew Stafford. So, look, even the Houston Texans right now, I know we all love to revisit the 2017 draft, and we love to do it, or we feel forced to do it because it's we're all gluttons for punishment. But, look, even the Texans are in a bind right now. Granted, they've got Deshaun Watson, who's a top-five quarterback. They've got the left tackle that they paid an arm and a leg to get, but it's still only part of the equation. It's the biggest part of the equation, but it's not the only part, and that's what makes this such a puzzle to try and figure out how the Bears can finally solve that after 6+, 8+ decades, however many it's been, without losing what they do have working for them right now on the other side of the football.
You know, Arthur, it's interesting that you mentioned that. We're going to take another very quick break here to get back on schedule. If you want to dial us up and talk some football or baseball, basketball, hockey, meaning of life, wherever you want to go, 312-644-6767. Probably meaning of life is not a good place to go, but we can talk about everything else if you like. Again, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. As we go to break, though, while you were talking about Matt Stafford, I got a text, and you know Keys, my co-executive producer of the Pro Football Weekly TV show, Jim Kizios, a great TV talent and a huge football fan, just texted me the stat, and I assume he's correct because, you know, he follows this stuff closely, but he's saying that Matt Stafford's record against teams that have finished the season with a winning record is 8-55. Now, let that one sink in for a minute. And I tend to agree with you. He has the abilities of a franchise quarterback. I have seen him put that team on his shoulders at times, and yet those are stunning numbers. And yes, the Lions have been bad, but you can't give the quarterback a free pass on that one. It's interesting because many believe that Matt Stafford's going to be on the trading block at the end of this season. The Lions are going to clean house in the front office and can't imagine any circumstances under which Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia keep their jobs after yesterday. Probably going to start from the bottom up. I don't think they're going to get a first-round pick for Matt Stafford, but they might get a couple twos and a three. Maybe you get a first-round pick if you think Stafford's healthy, if you're really comfortable with the physical. But I've done a little bit of homework on this already. There is nobody in free agency. If you want a starting quarterback in free agency next year, Drew Brees is either going to retire or stay in New Orleans. Phillip Rivers is probably going to do another short-term deal with the Colts or retire. So what is left among starting quarterbacks if these guys qualify is Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And so you're not fixing this thing in free agency. Do you make a trade? There's not going to be a quarterback you're going to draft in the middle of the first round who's going to step in and be a rookie starter. You know, I've also heard people suggest that Alex Smith is going to be on the trade block at the end of the year after he wins his comeback player of the year award. That would obviously intrigue Matt Nagy if he's still here. How Ryan Pace would feel, I don't know. But the point is, not only is quarterback a black hole with the Chicago Bears organization, there don't appear to be a lot of options during this coming offseason. We'll talk some more about that and everything else sports related on Chicago's very favorite all sports radio station, 670 The Score. We are back in just a moment.
Watson under center, takes the snap, handoff, Duke Johnson running right, trying to get outside. He's going to throw it back to Watson. Watson has it, fires down the field. Fuller is wide open at the 15-yard line, and he will sprint into the end zone for the touchdown. A 34-yard pass to Deshaun Watson to Will Fuller, and the Texans are piling on. They lead 40-17, 10:07 to go.
Yeah, that was a bit of a beatdown, and if you have Will Fuller in your fantasy lineup this weekend, you are a happy camper. But other than that, not a lot to enjoy all day long yesterday, really. One, you know, really great trick play from Washington. They beat up on the Dallas Cowboys. Big day for Fuller and Deshaun Watson. But a pretty sad day of NFL football, Thanksgiving Day yesterday. Should get a lot better this weekend, though. Some really good games on the slate. Can't wait to see Kansas City and Tampa take each other on. You know, bottom line is that the Bears-Packers is a big deal. Even the way the Bears have played recently, it is the oldest rivalry in the NFL. It is not just in Chicago and Green Bay that people look forward to these games. Sunday night should be fun. As we discussed at the top of the show, don't really think that Steelers-Ravens is going to happen Sunday. It is still scheduled for Sunday, but with more positive tests this morning, with Lamar Jackson testing positive yesterday, it's just hard to imagine the NFL allowing the Ravens to go out on the field Sunday. I'm guessing that one could get delayed till Monday or Tuesday, and the league hopes they can at least get away with that. So we're keeping an eye on that story. We appreciate you joining us here on The Score this afternoon. The we is I am Hub Arkish. Arthur Arkish is alongside. We're with you until 4 o'clock. We're taking your calls at 312-644-6767. And Arthur, let's jump right back to the phone lines. I think we talked to Jeff in East Moline. I think it's time to go to St. Charles and welcome Anthony into the program. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Just want to ask more so your opinion. I just look at it as the Bears have never been able to develop a rookie quarterback. I know there's not much options in free agency. Trading like we did for Cutler, I know that didn't turn out great. But I just want to see, like, is that something they should maybe explore? Maybe unless they clean house with management and coaching, whatever it might be, to get new heads in there. I just think that they've proven time and time again that they cannot develop a young quarterback with the staff they have. And I don't know if I know we got to draft, we got to try new guys, but I just don't know if I trust the current structure, the staff they have to develop a guy. They just have proven we've been a running team. And I think that's maybe where the focus should lie while we have a good defense. But I wanted your guys' opinions on that.
Well, you know, Anthony, when you say never able to develop a young quarterback with the staff they had, the only one they've tried is Mitch Trubisky. Now, when we're talking about the franchise of the organization not developing one, that's certainly fair. The one guy who's a bit of an exception, Arthur, and we never talk about him, is Kyle Orton. Comes out of Purdue, fourth-round pick, not really expected to do much. Rex Grossman breaks it. He broke and dislocated an ankle in an exhibition game in St. Louis. Orton is an opening day rookie starter. Takes the team to, I want to say that was a 11-5 campaign, an NFC North title, and is starting in the playoffs. Grossman comes back the next year, takes him to the Super Bowl. Kyle becomes the backup, but then goes out to Denver and plays pretty well out there. Never became a franchise quarterback, but a pretty good football player. I think to Anthony's point, though, they've tried the other route. You know, you say you can't develop a young guy. Well, they can't develop the veterans they bring in either. When you look at the Jay Cutler trade, when you look at what's happened with Nick Foles this year. So I don't know that there's a better way to do it. They've just got to find the right talent.
Yeah, I mean, right. Historically, the franchise has failed to develop quarterbacks, of course. But Mitch Trubisky wasn't Matt Nagy's guy. So if we're to assume that there's going to be another crack at it this offseason, then I think you'd have to kind of restart the clock, you know, with Nagy if you're going to give him the keys and a young, talented, highly drafted quarterback. I don't think you're going to be able to put a lot of pressure on him right out of the gate, either the quarterback or the head coach. So, there's absolutely no excusing the fact that in a league that the Bears used to own and has since, adjusted and evolved to a passing league and they've never been able to evolve and adjust, that's bad. And there's no sugarcoating it. But I think we have to be careful when we talk about Matt Nagy's limitations developing a young quarterback, because we just haven't, I don't think we've really had enough opportunity to see that just yet. And don't misconstrue, I'm not really pining for a lot longer for him to show us. I'm just pointing out that, you know, Nagy was part of it, or excuse me, Trubisky was kind of part of the package deal, if you will.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody else about this morning. I think my worst nightmare is that they give up on Mitch Trubisky, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, that's not the nightmare, but that he becomes Ryan Tannehill, because they are such similar prospects. They have the same positive traits that got them drafted in the first round. Tannehill was the 8th overall pick. Trubisky was the 2nd overall pick. Tannehill's run in Miami was very similar to what's happened with Mitch here in Chicago, except he never had the defense around him to make them even that much more competitive. They give up on him after that rookie contract. He goes to Tennessee, and he's now a Pro Bowl quarterback. And if you're not paying attention, he's playing as well this year as he did last year with the big contract. And so he needed the right people to get it out of him. And so... is that the issue with Mitch Trubisky, or is he a missed pick? I think the uncertainty there is another piece of evidence that suggests to me that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to get at least one more year, if not more. Again, that's my guess. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I'm not taking a side. I'm just telling you that's what I think is likely to happen. So
Tannehill was a little better, though, in Miami, Hub. He showed improvement each year. I feel like maybe the numbers are somewhat comparable, but I think there was more reasons for optimism with Tannehill, at least in my opinion and my recollection of it. But I certainly do agree. I mean, that, yes, everyone who follows the Bears, their worst nightmare would have to be watching Mitch, unless you're just pulling for the kid personally. I think a lot of us are, but to see him go on and thrive elsewhere would be the full scathing indictment of the Bears and their inability to make it happen while he was here.
Yeah, and just to be clear, my only point with Tannehill, I wasn't comparing him and Mitch so much as he wasn't positive or good enough for the Dolphins to give him another contract. And my guess is, listen, Brian Flores may be the coach of the year, but when he decided to start Tua a few weeks ago, I was thinking, what the hell are you doing? You know, yeah. And now he's been forced to bench him again. And they
credit to him for doing that, though, right, Hub?
Well, yeah, but they made a mess where they didn't have to, because now where are you at? You know, and we have to remember, although now I think the Texans pretty much took themselves out of the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields derby yesterday. That pick belongs to Miami. A lot of people thought that maybe Tua was being auditioned to see if they could get a first rounder back for him and continue to load up. That may still be the case. We don't know. But I don't think the sample size from the couple games he got to start is nearly enough. Let's get to, we got two Anthonys in a row. This Anthony is in Janesville, Wisconsin. Anthony, how you doing? I hope you had a great holiday yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Hub. You as well. And it's an honor having you on our radio as many times as you do it and as experienced as you are, and it's an honor to give you this question.
Thank you.
All right. So Robert Quinn is a pass rusher for our Chicago Bears, and he is underachieving. So as far as the technique and the scheme of defense, Robert Quinn is a great defensive end. That's shown on paper over a season playing with Dallas or two. It's shown when he plays the 3-4 defense, he is Leonard Floyd 2.0. So as a Chicago Bears GM, wouldn't you figure you'd look into that to see if a player fits your scheme properly before you dump all that money on him? Now, I would love to hang up and listen, and have a good day.
Anthony, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, I would think you would look into it, and I would think the Bears did. And I think you make a fair point. He is listed as an outside rush linebacker in a 3-4, but when you look at the rotation that they're playing and the reps that he's getting, most of them are with a hand on the ground in their sub packages, or with the choice between putting a hand on the ground or not, but being on the end in a 40 front in the sub packages. That said, the guaranteed money they gave him is a problem now, because there's $23 million in dead cap money on that deal. He's not going anywhere in the next year or two, and he is not the complete player you would like to have as your outside rush linebacker in a 3-4 base defense. So, Arthur, I think Anthony makes a fair point, but the main reason that they went and got Quinn was for pass rush. And I think the position switch is probably part of it, but I don't think it's the whole answer as to why he has not been as effective this year as he was in recent seasons.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. Age, injury certainly have attributed to it, trying to switch teams in this unique offseason. But I realize hindsight is 2020, and I don't want to be a revisionist historian here. So I was all about the Robert Quinn signing when it happened. I thought it was lavish, but I thought it made a ton of sense. Given, you know, Leonard Floyd's shortcomings, given the need to make sure you get the most out of Khalil Mack in the defense, I didn't realize he was going to be a situational guy who gives nothing against the run and just has given very little as a pass rusher. And I'm quite sure, obviously, Ryan Pace and Chuck Pagano didn't realize that either. I think the natural kind of pivot here, Hub, is there any reason to believe that someone like a Travis Gipson is going to be able to step up and fill the void that Robert Quinn has created without us, you know, realizing it was coming? And year, of course. He's not doing it now.
Yeah, I love Travis Gipson coming out of Tulsa, and he looks like a natural pass rusher and a better fit for what the Bears want to do as a guy who played all over the field in college. And certainly they are hopeful. He is not. I think they thought he might be a good enough pass rusher to make some plays as a rookie, and that has not occurred. But I know they're still very high on him, and we have to remember that cost them their fourth-round pick in this coming draft, which now belongs to the Vikings. Thank God they've still got 1, 2, and 3 for the first time in 3 seasons. So that is certainly a big part of it. At the end of the day, though, there's something else here. Robert Quinn, he did not participate in most of training camp, and there was never a clear answer as to why. Then he suddenly shows up on the injury list with an ankle injury and misses the first game of the season. It doesn't feel like he's been 100% of himself. And maybe we'll learn more about that as the season goes on or during the offseason. But there's no getting away from the contract, and there's no moving on yet. So the Bears have to hope that he can still pay some dividends. We're going to squeeze in one more call because I don't want anybody waiting. We've got guests coming up on the other side of the hour. But Pat is out in Grays Lake. Pat, how you doing?
Great. You talked earlier about how the draft doesn't look good for quarterbacks and the free agent market is similar bad. So with that in mind, the best year that Nick Foles ever had was when he had an offensive line in Philadelphia. So I hope that the Ryan Pace goes drafting linemen like crazy or looking for linemen in free agency. What's your opinion?
Pat, I agree with you, but let me take a step back. There are some who will tell you it's a very good quarterback draft. I'm not saying it's a bad quarterback draft. I'm saying it doesn't set up well for the Bears. You're going to have the 1-2 picks are almost certainly going to be Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, assuming they both come out. Trey Lance, a kid from North Dakota State, is going to go higher than maybe he should, having not played more than one game this year. And coming from North Dakota State and the whole Carson Wentz experience, he's almost the identical prospect, but he's a really good prospect. You've got the Trask kid down at Florida. You got Zach Wilson at BYU, who could be first-rounders, maybe second-rounders. There's talent in this draft, but the only two who might be Joe Burrow-type rookies are Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, and the Bears are not going to have a shot at them. And back to something Arthur and I got into at the start of the show. I believe this defense is capable of being dominant for two more seasons. I don't think they're old, but they are middle-aged. Arthur suggested maybe they're even a little older than that. Even if it's one more season, if you're not going to blow the thing up, and I don't think you should because of how good this defense is, you got to get quarterback help right now. So, Arthur, what I was suggesting is that they weren't going to get that out of the draft or free agency. I don't know how they're going to do it. But, Pat, regardless of that, I think the offensive line is every bit as important, if not more. I think that Nick Foles is better than what we've seen, and I think that Mitch Trubisky might be better than what we've seen if they had a decent offensive line. So, you know, Arthur, if it's up to me, not only I get my left tackle in the first round, I'm getting another lineman in the second round.
Yeah, I like that idea. You just better hope you get a Tristan Wirfs caliber, plug and play guy out of one of these schools that just is a factory for old linemen. We've seen the difference he's made, of course, for Tampa Bay. Some of these guys, it doesn't come to fruition as quickly, but it's the whole chicken versus egg. And given all the constraints the Bears are going to be dealing with, it's hard for me to disagree that they don't make maybe their two biggest investments in the one in the draft and one in free agency to make sure they get two new starters for week one next year up front.
All righty, guys. Kevin Kadick, another old buddy, had a cup of coffee at Pro Football Weekly. We worked together for a while at Shaw Media. He is now at the Midway Minute covering all Chicago sports. And Kevin going to check in with us on the guest line on the other side. I should say the Alpamonte Ford guest line on the other side of this very quick commercial break. We really appreciate you being with us this afternoon. He's Arthur. I'm Hub. You've got the score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.